Imaging, 226-1800. Advanced Imaging. Quality counts.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's Carl and Linda Bott, and welcome to January the 19th, Monday. It's another beautiful day, and it's a holiday. Now, ordinarily, we don't work on holidays. Reading Radio, Mapleton says, take off these takeoff holidays. Well, you know what? We're not taking it off. There's too many things going on. Our listeners are loyal, we're loyal to you all, because there's a lot of stuff happening this week. Let me introduce our crew here. Kelly Frost Jr., our producer.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, and Kelly's here too. Kelly had to be here, but Kelly also volunteers to be here.
Yeah, I do. I actually like to be here on holidays.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things going on in our city that we need to talk about.
I can do more work.
Hey.
There's no one here.
And, of course, my soulmate, Linda Bott.
Well, good morning, and we are for the people, by the people. And today is Martin Luther King, the birthday of Martin Luther King. He was born on January 15th, but today is the holiday, of course. And Congress that voted it in as a national holiday in 1986. So a little trivia there. Also, look out for peanut butter. Your peanut butter cookies, anything else. Just wait for a while because salmonella is everywhere. And it's reported across the country. So just
which company was that?
Supposedly Planters, but you know Planters. It all gets in the mix. So
okay.
Just I'm sorry to tell you that, and not to put anybody out of business. Also, want to share with you that we saw Gran Torino this week, and a must see.
It was pretty good. I tell you what, Clint Eastwood is. I don't know if he's ever made a bad movie. He probably has, but I haven't seen it yet. Anyway, we've got a lot of things going today. We're going to be talking about. We're going to have some callers calling in for the woman's shelter. And we're going to discuss something that happened on Friday. You know, we had a guest Friday, the vice mayor named Patrick Jones. Patrick Jones talked about the fact that on the 3rd of February, the 3rd of February was going to be a night that the city council was going to discuss the abatement issue, REU, Reading Electric Utilities, and about abatement, about people being tossed out of their houses. The community was activated about it. This thing's been on in the news for the last 3 weeks. So Patrick Jones, the vice mayor, made the announcement that the 3rd of February was the night that we were going to discuss this, that the people of the city could discuss this. Later on that afternoon, the decision was made, allowed out to the press, was that the meeting or the council to discuss that was going to happen tomorrow night. Well, you can imagine a lot of consternation on that. And we've already got the phone lines lit up. But we've got to take a break. So this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here 221-1402. And we get back, we're going to be talking about a number of things that affect our community. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Now let's go to the phones.
Maggie, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you sound so cheery. Let's talk about what's going on with the Shasta Women's Refuge and the crab feed.
Right. Our 23rd annual crab feed is February 7th at the Shasta County Fairgrounds.
Yes.
And it's going to be, every year it gets more and more fun. And this year, just the crab parade itself is going to be worth the price of admission.
Okay. What do the tickets cost?
The tickets are $40 a piece,
uh-huh.
Or you can buy a table for eight for $500. And
uh-huh.
With that, you get eight wine glasses, four bottles of wine, reserved seating, and 8 crab crackers. Now, people always think we mean those little small things. No, these are the crackers where you actually crack the crab.
Oh, how wonderful. Sounds like a lot of fun. And tell us, the proceeds from this particular evening go to...
It helps fund our services to reduce domestic violence and sexual assault in Shasta County and also our education program. We're having an extremely tough year, as most nonprofits are. The governor's line item vetoes hit us very, very hard this year. We lost over $237,000 in funding, and he cut an entire program that will impact us next fiscal year. So more and more, these fundraising events are critical to sustainability.
So this is why it was very important to have you on, because if, as people think about, well, I have, you know, maybe 150 or whatever, you know, their little piggy bank, that is their money for the month to do something that would be entertainment. This is a perfect way to go be entertained but give back to something that is really affecting our community.
Exactly. It's a big fun party, and you're having a good time while doing a good thing.
Well, let us know if there's anything that Carl and I can do for you. And later, we have a special request that maybe yourself and some of the staff from the Women's Refuge can come, and we can do a special show on domestic violence and what to look out for, and just give us a day that we can take callers and so on.
Oh, we would really like to do that. And can I just take a second and tell you where you can get tickets?
Yeah, absolutely.
Holiday Market on Placer here at our office on Benton Avenue. We're closed today, but we will be open tomorrow. Safeway on East Cypress and Sunset Marketplace. And again, the tickets are $40, and they typically sell out. So we urge people to get them as soon as possible.
And that's a lot of crab that you serve, that's
for
sure.
Oh, it is. Well, it's tons of crab,
yeah,
literally.
It's all you can eat.
All you can eat. And the clam chowder by... the Rotary in Anderson is just phenomenal.
Okay. Hey, we're going to have you on again before this happens, of course, Maggie.
We would love to do that.
All right.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you all. Bye.
Okay. You know, let's. They do a great job for this, our community, and things are going to be tough. But let's. You know, we've already got the phone lines backed up already. So let's go to Joe. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Carl and Linda. Thank you so much for. Having this issue on your show again for the community.
Well, you know something, Joe, is that this was something we had on like 2 or 3 times, and with the vice mayor talking about it, saying, hey, we're going to have the meeting on the 3rd. And we felt like, okay, that's, you know, that's a lot of coverage on it. But then when it was changed, it kind of got our hackles up a little bit, you know, that it was changed from the 3rd to the 20th on a 3-day weekend. It was kind of, we were kind of interested about why that might have happened.
Well, definitely in contradiction to Missy MacArthur's mission statement, isn't it?
Well, what's on your mind? Tell us your thoughts.
Okay, listen, last week I did a little bit of research, and what I was wondering is if I could share what I found with the community.
Shoot.
Okay. What I did was mostly what I've done is it's comparisons, mostly Shasta Lake City, Redding, and PG&E.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the first thing that I found is that in 10 years, Shasta Lake has never evicted anybody for having their electricity shut off alone. It has always included other things, other safety hazards, building issues, broken windows, et cetera, et cetera. The next thing I found was Shasta Lake does not impose a fine for staying in your home without electricity. So there's no $2,500 or any fine whatsoever for staying in your home without power. The third is Shasta Lake does not charge, first, as high of late fees as Redding, and they'll always work with the customers to make payments if they fall behind, always. Now, concerning PG&E, it's the same thing with PG&E. In fact, if a customer calls, their automated actually has an option for making payment arrangements before you ever even speak to a live person. And, of course, with PG&E, there's no issue or abatement if a customer chooses to live without power.
It seems to me, you know, PG&E, if there's a way of getting money out of a rock, PG&E would find a way to do it.
They will. I mean, they would rather take a little bit at a time than have people skip and not get it at all.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, Joe, you know, that's real interesting because, you know, these are things that – these are self-imposed policies that we've put into this thing. You know, it's kind of like a self-inflicted wound, shooting yourself in the foot, that when we do something like this, why do we do it? One, And two, is this like written in concrete or can this be changed?
Well, I personally believe that it can be changed. And I hope that me, just as a private citizen doing this little bit of research that I've done, I'm hoping that somebody on city council is doing the same thing.
Oh, I think city council has turned the heat up a little bit. Or the people have turned the heat up a little bit on the city council.
I think so. Hey, listen, there was one other thing I wanted to mention, and that is in the research that I've been doing, what I'm finding is there is absolutely, as far as, you know, there's been a lot of publicity about help for people that need assistance.
Right.
And what I'm finding is there is no help for the working poor, that people right now that are falling on hard times will most likely find no assistance.
Well,
in other words, if you're not on a government program,
yeah,
you're out of luck.
Well, I tell you what, you're out of luck then, too, because starting February 1st, California's going to be issuing IOUs to people.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
And we're going to talk about that tomorrow, Senator Onstad. But, hey, Joe, thanks a lot. We've got to take a break here. We've got
the phone lines backed up.
Thank you. Okay, look, this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, our News Talk 1400 KQMS. The phone lines are backed up, and Robert, you're up next. Join us on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. They've got everything you could possibly imagine in coffee, drinks, and tea, and of course the finest walk-in humidor in the North State. Go down and see Joe and Shelley. You won't be sorry. Robert, good morning.
Hello?
You're on the air, Robert.
Okay, this is Ron.
Oh, Ron? Okay, you're on the air. Sorry about that.
I've got two things that kind of stuck in my craw, and they pertain to the North State here.
Okay.
It's called Bill 885, and I've heard about it on the Bill Wattenberg show. Anyhow, I think it pertains to septic tanks and water wells, and they want to, I guess, condemn them. And if they have to inspect them, they'll charge maybe a $300 fee to do that per thing, and that's going to be kind of expense. Anyhow, there's another thing that kind of bothers me, too. And anyhow, our legislatures are cutting back on our fire departments, our police officers, and I guess our schools. And that kind of kicks us taxpayers right in the shins that are paying for all this. I think they need to also cut back, say, $25 a month for the welfare people who do absolutely nothing except they're a drain on society. They're just drones. And they're just taking off society. So anyhow, that's what I'm – a couple things that – you might
get around.
And so anyhow, I'll get off the phone and let somebody else have it.
Well, Ron, you know what? Sam Onstad's going to be on tomorrow. And that's just a few of the questions we're asking. Because you know what? You don't have to worry about any of the programs, it looks like, because come February 1st, they're cutting them all off because the idiots can't get a budget passed.
Well, I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be in Nevada because that's where I work.
Oh, well, hey.
I'm in on weekends.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Ron. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good one.
You bet. Robert, thank you for waiting.
Oh, no problem, Carl Linda. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
You bet. You understand that you're one of our spokesmen for the anti-abatement cause.
Yeah, I've kind of been picked to speak about it whenever we can take advantage of the chance to get it out there.
So what's happening?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of media coverage. There's been TV coverage. You guys have been gracious enough to bring this up and keep it in front of the public. And we've had it in the Record Searchlight quite a bit. Right now, obviously, as you'd mentioned, one of the issues is the move here last Friday by Stegall and MacArthur. You know, as brought up by Joe, a previous caller, Mrs. Stegall's, one of her campaign promises was to the effect of bringing unity to city council. I find that kind of hard to believe when she and her partner there have apparently hung Mr. Jones out to dry.
I believe that Mr. Jones was quite surprised when he heard about this. I think the mayor was surprised, too, when he heard it had been moved up.
Yeah, I have no doubt. This wasn't something that appears to have been communicated throughout city council.
I don't get how it can happen myself.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The meeting tomorrow night, somebody brought up something online concerning the Brown Act. If this is going to be touted as a public hearing tomorrow, a public hearing has to have proper public notice before it can be, you know, changed.
And we talked about how it happened on a Friday afternoon before a 3-day holiday.
Mm-hmm. And not, yeah, and not to mention, too, that the fact that the attendance by the public who have issue with the everything that's going on, it's well known that this is going to happen on the 3rd of February. This has been planned. It's been talked about. We have well over 1,000 people who have committed to attending this candlelight vigil.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go Reading.
It's growing.
Well, I think what it is, and it's not, you know, I think it's people of all ilks, too. I mean, it's not liberal conservative or Democrat Republican. I think it's what people see as a policy that doesn't help the people that really, in this case, deserve some help. And,
exactly.
And you're using our money to do it.
Exactly. It's funny, you know, the abatement, the whole abatement issue, when this first came out in the Record Searchlight, Mr. Nagel, he was quoted as saying, you know, in defending this thing and trying to justify the cause of abating people, one of the things they said they checked for before they red tag a home for safety issues was things like exposed wires, unsanitary living conditions, and such. Okay, exposed wires in a house with no electricity. Yeah, okay. You want to call that a safety issue? Okay. In my mind, I don't exactly see it. But what's really interesting is this past Saturday, a story came out, an unrelated story came out in the Record Searchlight about the Manhattan apartments that are close to Caldwell Park.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, let me break in on you here because we've got to take a hard break, but we'd like you to hang on, and let's finish this up on the other side of our news break, all right? Okay, hey, thank you very much. This is Carl Lindebot on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402. We'll see you on the other side.
I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News. Welcome back. You're listening to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We're on the phone right now. We're talking about abatement. We're talking about a huge issue that's very topical right now in Reading, and we have somebody who is really at the forefront carrying the flag and keeping the fires lit. Robert?
Yes.
Thank you for being with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Robert, what else is going on with this thing?
Well, as I was saying before, what Mr. Nagel said, that they use the code that they use to red tag a house that has no electricity once they're called in after power shut off, exposed wiring, unsanitary conditions, and things like that. Well, these Manhattan apartments in the story Saturday in Record Searchlight, the people who, the renters who lived there, they were upset about the conditions. Code enforcement was called in. Some of the exact things that code enforcement states they found were exposed wires, roaches, which to me constitutes unsanitary conditions, floorboards dry rotted out to the point that they're ready to fall through, and something else that was really interesting there, in one unit, there's a stove that had several fires. Now, Mr. Nagel's words in response to all of this were, they found nothing of immediate danger. Here's places with electricity that have exposed wiring by their own admittance, but there's no immediate danger. But they will red tag a house for exposed wires that doesn't have electricity? I don't understand that. There's some real inconsistency there.
Well, there's inconsistencies throughout this thing. When we found out about the change, and I think the change was made like Thursday night, but here was the next day, and the vice mayor still didn't know about it because nobody had said anything, was that we made a phone call to the city hall and asked for Missy MacArthur or Mary Stiegel to give us a call back just to talk to us about it. And Ms. Stiegel did say, you know, they never called us back. It's a long weekend. They never called us back, but she said that, this is such a hot topic that we need to get to it earlier than later, which, of course, was then questioned by the vice mayor. But I think the fact is that this can be changed by the city council, can it, Robert, these rules?
Yes. These are municipal codes that they have that they say that they are enforcing and practicing. State code, no. Sorry, but it just doesn't exist. It says that they can do this. There's nothing stating that you have to have electricity.
If they did, I think Shasta Lake and PG&E, especially PG&E, if PG&E could find a way to do it, they'd do it. So I believe that you're right. I think it is just a city code or a county code. And if that's the case, why can't we work with people that deserve to be worked with?
Everybody else can do it, as you said. PG&E, they can get they can get a dime out of a nickel.
Well, we talked about a grassroots level. Were you part of the Saturday gathering at Caldwell Park?
Yes, I was.
Tell us, give us an insight of what that was like. What occurred?
It was a, you know, for a planning meeting, it went really well. We had about 75 people there. Everybody was really intent on what's going on. People shared a lot of stories, great media coverage. You know, for a planning event, it was a really good turnout. You don't expect to see so many people at just a planning meeting. You know, this wasn't the event. This was, you know, we're just basically getting information out, getting some flyers out to people to hand them out. But it was a great turnout. It was a great day. Media was there. The, you know, several news, TV stations, the newspaper was there, some radio. It went really well.
Well, you know, it seems to me that if you want to diffuse a situation, you don't throw gasoline on it like happened this weekend when the council changed, when two members of the council changed the meeting time to Tuesday.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I mean, we have this. These are some real serious issues, the abatement. You know, also we're questioning the proposed 60% increase over the next 6 years in our rates. But if we look at this from a government level, from us being the taxpayers, the voters, we look at the actions of some of these city council members. These people answer to us. If you really want to look at it from this angle, they are responsible to us. If everything at City Hall was going on is just, it's above board, and there's nothing that needs to be hidden or kept from the public view, why are they doing maneuvers like this? Why, when questioned, can't city officials give us specific codes, or can't they give us direct answers? Why are they trying to avoid the public outcry over such policies as these?
Well, you know, the big thing is, I agree with, you know, your part about that. The big thing that you said that I really agree with is that they work for us.
Yeah.
And the fact is if somebody works for you that you are not happy with their work, you fire them. The thing too is that government should be transparent to everybody.
Absolutely.
It shouldn't be something, this is Redding, California. It's not Chicago, Illinois. You know, this town cares for its citizens. And to have, even if the reason it was moved to Tuesday wasn't nefarious, it appears to be, and that gets under my skin. That sticks in my craw.
Absolutely. If they're so concerned with getting this taken care of in a timely manner, why did they put it at the end of the meeting?
Yeah.
Why didn't they put it at the beginning of the agenda where we could have some time to discuss it and get things going on this?
Well, toward the end of the meeting, and I've been to the city council meetings before. I don't know if you have or not. And they allow people to talk, but if it's at the end, if there's four or five other issues there, it's going to be 10, 11 o'clock at night, I think. I don't know if there's a restriction on the time. I mean, how long the city council goes to. But this is something that it was put on for the third. It was going to be the first item on the docket. There was the plans to have the candlelight vigil to talk about this. So,
keep the fires burning.
Yeah. Hey, Robert, we've got, we'll remind everybody tomorrow.
Okay.
Also about the meeting. And I would recommend that people come in and take a look at how the city council works.
Sure. Absolutely. People are mad. People are extremely upset after this latest move.
All right. I don't know if there's a phone number or anything.
You can contact anybody who's interested in finding out more. You can email, Patricia Barrett at readinghomeless@att.net.
Okay.
readinghomeless@att.net. Thank you, Robert, for your phone call.
And I think Patricia's going to be on our show around the 29th.
Yeah.
So, all right. Hey, thanks a lot, Robert.
Thank you.
We have a time for a quick call. Let's go to Joan.
Joan, good morning.
Hello.
Joan, you're up.
Oh, yes. I was just wondering, I've often heard about the Brown Act. And the Brown Act, I believe, suggests that people should not meet privately. You know, like if a city council makes a decision,
uh-huh,
no members should splinter off and make decisions that kind of subvert what the original decision was, and that it's illegal for people to have side meetings to make these very critical decisions.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, perhaps somebody might discuss that, you know, or maybe throw a little light on what the Brown Act really is.
Well, it comes under the government code section, and I hate to use these big numbers, but
that's okay.
54950-54963.
Uh-huh.
And this is a law that requires public access to meeting and requires the elected officials to let the people speak.
Right. You don't have a little backroom meeting and then come out with this profound decision.
Well,
you're going to change the time and the date.
That's right. You know, the thing, too, is that, you know, it goes back to this to me. It was going to happen on February 3rd.
Right.
That was, you know, that was from the vice mayor saying, we need to really do need to discuss this thing. Mm-hmm. And to change it, even, as I said before, even if it was for a good purpose.
Yeah, well, then that good purpose needs to be made known.
Well, they said was, well, gosh, it's had, you know, if it's so important, we need to have it earlier. But but the people then, you know, people have to make plans to do certain things.
Absolutely.
and to come in that. You know, and I'm not saying is that it was done for nefarious purposes. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it just sounds a little funny.
Well, I think transparency was such a big time issue in a certain campaign. So I think this is an example where somebody needs to come forward and be very transparent.
Hey, our phone lines.
But anyway, I'm very curious about the Brown Act to see if perhaps this might have been tread upon.
Well, I think that they're allowing open discussion. It's just they didn't tell anybody about it.
Well, that goes again the Brown Act, I believe.
I think so too.
Okay, thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thank you so much for calling.
And this is Carla and Linda Bott. We're going to take a break. It's 41 degrees outside. The time is 8:40. We're taking your calls at 221-1402. This is Free Fire Radio, and we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carla and Linda Bott. We're taking your calls at 221-1402. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry at 2225 Hilltop Drive. It's where Carl buys all my baubles, and I love it. Experts in worldwide connections with any kind of gemstone. Take your watches in there. Get them, the batteries replaced, etc. We love it. We hang out there, and great Americans, locally owned.
Hey, we go for that locally owned stores. And speaking of non-locally owned stores, let's talk about Circuit City. Circuit City is going down the tubes. Filed for bankruptcy. They're in receivership. They tried their best to survive, but to no avail. They're going to liquidate all its merchandise and close all 567 remaining stores. They've hired people there to sell off everything, pending a green light from the courts. The fire sale is going to start Saturday and continue through the end of March. And unfortunately, there's 30,000-plus employees from Circuit City are going for unemployment. The thing about it is that it's going to be like a huge, huge sales. But you've got to be looking out at some things, though, when you go to Circuit City. There's a couple questions. One, you've got people that have... You know, they say save 75%. Okay, take a good look at those prices. They may have bumped the prices up 100%. You save 75%, so you're still paying more. Look at the prices there. You know, you can still comparison shop. And then the big question was, what about warranties? Now, you buy something from a major brand name, and you are going to have, you will have the warranty on that. But if an in-store warranties many times, and we're not positive about this, but from what our research is that an in-store warranty that you buy an extended warranty is not from the store itself, but from another company that supports that store. Unfortunately, and not in every case, but maybe that store is what's keeping them afloat. So when that store goes down, then that company goes down. Maybe sometimes they can sell extended warranties. Something you need to check in. The other thing, of course, is don't buy any gift cards from Circuit City.
Well, we have extended warranty on our appliances, and it's been very good for us because, you know, after a while, the warranty goes out.
Yeah, we have 20-year-old washing machines and dryers.
Right, and it's come in very handy. We do have a caller on the line talking. Our topic today is Reading Electric Utilities and abatement.
John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
You know what? We're doing great.
It sounds like you are.
What's up,
John? But the city council doesn't seem to be doing too good.
Well, you know... It's kind of, they do kind of some strange things at times, don't they, John?
Well, I'm calling about that one of those strange things.
All right.
I was going to try to be subtle about this, but I don't think I'm going to be.
Subtle doesn't work sometimes.
Mary Stiegel has some very unusual affiliations. I'd like to list them if I could real quick. Council liaison to the Community Services and Electric Utility Departments. Council liaison to the American Public Power Association. council liaison to the Northern California Power Agency. Now, is this the person you really want deciding issues concerning REU? It seems to me that she needs to recuse herself due to conflict of interest.
Well,
because
could...
all of these facilities are going to either profit or lose based on the decision she's making about REU and the public here. She needs to remove herself from any type of negotiations for REU's operating procedures.
Well, that's a good point. You know, I think that's something she should be asked tomorrow night.
I think so, too.
And I think
you
she
know
probably,
I'll be there.
I think she probably will be asked that. Well, you know what? I'm going to be there, too, because I love to hear the public speak, because that's what this show is about.
The public in action.
The public in action. Well, you know what that's what Free Fire Radio is about.
That's
here.
What it's about.
We're just a conduit for you all.
Yep.
And this is what you're interested in. This is what we're going to talk about.
Well, like I said, I think that there's some major conflicts here, and I think this elitism that has been ruling the council for some time now has got to come to a screaming halt and has to deal with the majority of the people, not the 10% that are the high-end people in this town.
Well, there's a lot to be, a lot to be said for, you know, by the people, for the people.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, sometimes we forget that once you're in some kind of, sometimes a position of power, and people forget what brought them there.
Well, you know, I asked Patrick and Rick the other day when you had them both on what they were going to do to break up this logjam, because we were all hoping maybe that Missy MacArthur would be open-minded about it when she got on the council, but she's just aligned herself with Dickerson and Stegall, and we wound up with the same logjam we had before. Something needs to be done.
Thanks so much for your phone call, John.
Enjoy your day, Carl. Goodbye, Linda.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, at the break, I got a phone call. The particular woman called in, and some people would feel like this is a conspiracy theory. She went into saying that people really need to check into something's being covered up. And that's interesting about John's call with Mary Stegall and her affiliations.
Well, you know, the thing is that people are affiliated with different subjects, different groups. But you need to say, like, hey, you know what? This could be considered. It's not that it is, but it could be considered not fair if I'm there, a conflict of interest. And just even the appearance of it is enough. It should be people disqualify themselves from making rules. But I tell you what, we've got to go to a quick break here. We've got 4 or 5 minutes left before the show is over. It's Carl and the Bot here on Free Fire Radio. We've got the phone lines backed up again. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side.
Welcome back. You're listening to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. We're wrapping up here. Still taking a few calls, 221-1402, but I wanted to touch on something briefly. We went to go see Gran Torino yesterday with Clint Eastwood, and they say that, you know, he's said that this is going to be his last film he acts in. But there was something about this film that really was very profound in the sense that it is about the older generation. And the Korean, he was a Korean War veteran. And, same as my father, what happened to the handshake deal? What happened to honoring your property, honoring your neighbor, doing the right thing? And when he finally went to confession, there were three things that bothered him. You have to see the movie to find out what they were, but they were very simple, basic, wonderful things in life that really ate at him, and it wasn't about war, and about wasn't what he had to do when he was
no,
in war.
It's about standing tall and shooting straight.
Absolutely.
Ron, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, Carl, you remember I talked to you about going down to Sacramento in our pickups.
Yeah.
And getting this thing straightened out instead of squabbling amongst ourselves.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. Transparency.
Either if we can't run those rats out down there, and that's what they are, then that's the rats, then we need to form the state of Jefferson.
Well, it's funny you should say that, but on our website, freefireradio.com, you'll see Thursday we're going to be talking state of Jefferson.
All right, good.
And I expect you to call in because we're going to have some facts about the state of Jefferson. We're going to talk about the state of Jefferson and why it was going to be formed and then what happened.
I might not be here, but I'll find out what you had to say.
Well, I tell you what, if you just go to the even if you go to our website, then you know we've got every one of our shows up there, and you can hear it. And then you can. But if you got any ideas about that, please, you know, drop us a line, give us a call at 241-2682.
Well, I just wish people, Carl, would quit fighting amongst themselves and realize where our problems are coming from.
Oh yeah,
it's not here in Redding. It's not the Redding utility. It's the state of California.
Well, you know what? We're going to have a senator on tomorrow. We're going to ask him a few of those questions.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling, Ron.
And by the way, we are on tomorrow from 8 to 9. At 9 o'clock, Rush will be covering the inauguration.
And you know what? You know, that's a huge day. You know, tomorrow is, you know, today's Martin Luther King's birthday, where, you know, we celebrate his birthday. And tomorrow is the inauguration of the first black president of the United States. I mean, and again, if somebody had told me in 2003 when I was in Iraq getting my butt shot at, that a president in 2008 was going to be somebody named Barack Hussein Obama, I'd have taken any bet in the month, you know, any bet in the world on that one. But you know what? It's tomorrow is a day that all of America, I know there's questions out there. I know there's questions. But we're going to give him a chance. We're going to see what he's going to do. We're going to see if he does what he says he's going to do. If he does, then the country will be fine for it. If he doesn't, well, you know what? We hold people accountable for that, just like we hold people accountable in our city council. And remember, tomorrow night is that meeting. Go to it. Get hot. Get enacted here in Redding. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?